I was thinking this morning of the different battles, trials, tribulations that Christians go through. And it's difficult. On a daily basis, you face a lot of difficult things. And so my desire is, and in this series, that we'll just try to look at some things that will help you. We spoke on the subject of worry last week. That's a concern. We get all fretting over things, worrying over things, and God wants us to trust in Him. What I want to do this morning is we want to teach on the subject of how to increase your faith. How to increase faith. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, let me read verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated when he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He gave the illustration of Enoch, and he said that Enoch pleased God. He immediately, in the next verse of Scripture, says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God is telling us something, that we need faith. Well, you say, Brother Ross, I have faith in God, but I believe that. If you're saved this morning, you certainly have saving faith. You've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. God wants us to increase our faith. The Christian life is, that's the way you live it. I heard a man say the other day, he said, I don't know if any man ever, I hear a man say, oh, I know the perfect will of God. He said, I do from day to day. This year, living for God is a day-by-day thing. And living in faith and trusting God is a day-by-day thing. And so God wants us to increase our faith. You say, what is faith? Well, I'm not going to give you some great technical description of faith. I'm just going to tell you this. It's a childlike trust in God that no matter what He gives us or whatever He does for us, it is right. Whatever God does, it's right. Amen. And we have got to have faith in God. And trust in God Almighty, that what God does is all right. And He's doing it for our benefit. See, that's the thing I think sometimes we forget. God is doing it for our benefit. And now I know you say, well, Brother Ross, I don't understand why some of this could be for our benefit, some of these hard, difficult times. But God works all things together for good to them who love God. He works all things together. You've heard your preacher say it. You've heard other preachers say it. You've heard Sunday school teachers say it. As all the little ingredients that we might put into a cake would not be good in themselves. I don't want any vanilla to drink. I don't want any raw eggs to eat. And I don't want any flour to take a spoonful of. Amen. Now, see, you're finding out I'm a good cook. I know all about these things. See? Amen. And that's about to my limit right there. I don't know what else goes in it. But anyway, Hershey chocolate, I wouldn't want to take a bite of it. I mean, would you? I mean, that dust stuff, I mean, whatever it is, that Hershey chocolate. What is it? Cocoa, that's it, cocoa. Yeah, I wouldn't want to take a spoonful of that. And yet you put all of those things together and cook them up. I'll guarantee you'll be right there on the front row waiting for that piece that comes on that plate with a fork in my hand. Amen. Well, God says all things work together for good to them who love God. He puts them all together. You see, sometimes some things are pretty difficult, pretty hard. But when God gets done working them together, it's for our benefit. Understand? Okay? Just grab a hold of that, because that's where God wants you and I to live by faith. Trust God that He knows best. And you can believe it. He knows best. Amen? Now, that's not just for the preacher. That's not for just the one sitting beside you. That's you. God knows best for you. Amen? Sure he does. And so, we need to build our faith. Let our faith be built in the Lord. I can look back on my life from the very day that I got saved and look at my life of faith, and I'll guarantee you something, it has grown. Has it grown to what it should be? Probably not. I still got a long way to go trying to build my faith. But it has grown. It's different than what it was the day I first got saved. See, I have a greater trusting God, and I've learned that over the years by a lot of things that God has took through my life. Amen? And our faith builds. So God wants to increase your faith. You say, Brother Ross, how do you increase your faith? First of all, you increase your faith by hearing, listening to the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, is that what the Bible says? Oh, sure. That's what the Bible says. Now, you've got to get a hold of that. Now, listen to me, folks. Listen to what he said. Your faith is increased by hearing the Word of God. You see, Brother Ross, how can I hear the Word of God? Well, I'm going to give you a few things. First of all, you hear sermons. Now, folks, listen to me. You need to approach a sermon. When you come to the house of God, you hear a sermon, even here this morning in a Sunday school class. You need to approach this. God has something for me. Now, he wants to teach me something this morning. We ought not to be sitting there thinking about everything else. What are we going to do when we get out of here? What am I going to do today? Our mind ought to be on the teaching of the Word of God. What is God saying to me? So we need to listen to sermons. Amen? That's God's way. Preaching is God's way. So we listen, we hear. Sometimes people will go out the door back there and they say, God really blessed me today. And boy, I learned this, that, and said. And sometimes they'll even say, God brought this to my mind while you was preaching. It wasn't even what I was really preaching about, but God brought this to my mind while you was preaching. It helped me, you see. And God has a way through the preaching of the Word of God just to help us, okay? Now, you're going to say, Brother Ross, I hear a lot of preaching that I've heard before. Well, that's because you forgot it. And he's trying to remind you again. Isn't God good to remind us again? I don't know about you, but I forget a lot of things. I've heard things in sermons and thought, boy, that's wonderful. I'm going to apply that. I may get 2 or 3 years down the road and then I've forgot it. And I goofed up and just put it in the past somewhere else. And all at once somebody preaches about it. I said, yeah, that's right. I quit doing that. You ever been there? I don't know where you have or not, but I've been there. Amen. That's why repetition of preaching is good for us, you see, and to be reminded of the Word of God. So we know we need to hear the Word of God. Listen, I can't even explain this, but I want to tell you something. God's Word is supernatural. It's the Word of God. And that's why you and I need to hear it. It's a supernatural thing that God does in our hearts. So we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. So I encourage you to do this. Listen to sermons. And certainly here in church, please listen. Amen. But listen to sermons. You get some sermon tapes of good preachers, people who will teach you the Bible, the Word of God. And when you have an opportunity, sometimes ladies maybe at home, maybe could put one on while they're doing their housework. I don't know what your schedules is. But put a sermon on. Listen to a sermon. If we're in our cars, we can put a tape in our tape player in our car. Most of them have many more, maybe not everybody, but you can put a tape in and listen to a sermon. Amen. Listen to a sermon. It's good for you, you see, and it's good for me to listen to the Word of God. Why? Because God said to you. Now, folks, I'm not trying to tell you something Brother Ross is saying. God said your faith is going to be increased by hearing of the Word of God. Amen. So we need to hear that. I think you need to come to church excited. Now, you may not be jumping up and down, but I think you ought to come to church excited, saying, what is it God's going to teach me today? Now, I don't know whether everybody takes notes. I know everybody don't take notes, but those who enjoy taking notes, I think taking notes is a good thing. I think it'll help you to go home. Vestal, I think she tells me all the time, she takes notes and she goes home and thinks about them and writes them to her children and her brothers and sisters and family and all that. She, you know, you take notes and she remembers them that way. Amen? But whether you take notes or not, you ought to be anxious. What is it God is trying to say to me today? I wish every person in this room this morning, all of us would say, what is it God's got for me today? Not just in Sunday school. What's God got for me? We've got a youth revival going on. But folks, he's got something for us. It isn't just for the youth. It's for us. It's the word of God that we're going to be hearing, you see. So we need to get excited about that. And then, of course, and I think most just like here, we're having some special meetings this week. Boy, take advantage of that. It's an opportunity to hear the Bible, the word of God preached. And we'll our faith will grow in hearing of the word of God. Now, we talked about listening to some tapes, sermon tapes. Let me encourage you about something. If you don't have them, buy a set. It's well worth the investment. Buy a set of the Bible on tape. And if you're in your car, boy, you can put that in there and just listen to the Bible read to you. Alexander Scorby is one of the most famous ones that has it on tape, and he does such a wonderful job reading the Bible, the Word of God. I know there's other ones, and I've just mentioned that. I think the one I have is Alexander Scorby does it. But it's just put the tape in and just listen to the Word of God. Now, you see, there's something there that we're missing because he said that the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He said hearing it. Just hearing it. Your faith is increased by hearing it. Amen? So that's a good thing. You get you some tapes of the Old and New Testament, King James Version, of course, and just listen to the Bible. Listen to the Word of God, you see. And you'd be surprised. Even, you know, and I'm going to say this, on trips sometime, when you go on trips, you know, and even if you got young children, maybe take a 15-minute section and say, you know, the first 15 minutes, we're going to listen to the Bible, the Word of God on tape, and everybody's going to be quiet. And I didn't mean that you have to do that the whole trip, but for 15 minutes, everybody listen to the Bible, the Word of God, and then after that's done, well, they can talk and do the things that they do on a trip. But you're getting the Word of God into their hearts. See, your children need to learn that their faith needs increased. How does it increase? Hearing of the Word of God. Understand? See, get the Word of God into you. Understand? Why? Because God said to do that. And of course, also read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Folks, one of the neglected things, I think, in America, in Christianity in America, is the reading of the Bible. We need to read the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? You just need to read God's Word. Saturate yourself with it. Read it. We're going to talk about studying in a minute. But listen, just read the Bible. You know your schedule. You know how much time you can put into it. You know all of those things. But have a time to read the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? Just read it. And in that, you're saturating yourself with the Word of God. Well, what did God say? Faith comes, it comes and is increased by hearing the Word of God. And so while you're reading the Bible, you're hearing the Word of God. Amen? Do you want your faith increased? Amen? Don't you want your faith increased? Sure you do. So you read the Word of God. And let me make a statement there that might help you. Say, Brother Ross, I read the Bible sometimes and I don't understand all of it. Can I say something that God did not say you're going to have your faith increased by understanding all of it? What did he say? You have your faith increased by hearing it. Now, will you understand? Yes, you'll understand. God will help you to understand. But don't go through your Bible and say, boy, if I don't understand that, I'm just going to quit. Well, you might as well quit. Because if you're like the rest of us, boy, I've got a long way to go. I've got so much to learn in the Bible, it's scary. I'm serious about it. And I'll never get it all. Never will. You won't either. I don't care how smart you are. You have an IQ of 200. You ain't going to make it either. No, no, no. Because it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Amen. So what does he say? He's saying, how does your faith increase? By hearing the Word of God. Just through hearing it. Amen. So that's a tremendous thing. Now, what's the second thing? We increase our faith by hearing God's word. Also, we increase our faith by obeying God's word. And let me say this, obeying God's word as we know what to do. In other words, to the point where we have learned what we know the Bible says, we need to obey it. Now, there's kind of a principle in the Bible. Folks, if we take the word of God and we pick out certain things and we say, well, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do that. And yet you know what the Bible says about it. Do you think God's going to come along and increase your faith? Do you think God's going to come along and teach you more and more and more truths out of the Bible when you've refused the one he's already taught you? You see, we increase our faith by obeying what God has already taught us, what we know to do. Amen? You know the Bible, yeah, and everybody in here is at probably some point is probably a different level of their Christian faith. I imagine just about everybody. Some may be close, but we're all at different levels. We're all grown to a certain place. Well, how are you going to increase that? Well, you increase it by hearing the Word of God and then by obeying it. Obeying what you have already learned. You know what is right to do. Look over with me to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Let me give you something here. 16th chapter, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Go back in your Christian life and remember when you first got saved. Did God, right at that point in your life, tell you to go out on a street somewhere and start preaching the Word of God? Or did he tell you to do great acts of faith? I've found out, usually what God does when a person is first saved, he begins to give them small little things to do and things to follow as far as faith is concerned until your faith is built. That's why he says, if you're not willing to do the least things, the little things, how in the world are you going to be able to handle the big things? That's why God tests us. He tests us with the small things in life. And then adds on to those things, the bigger things of life, the bigger things of faith. That's what he does. He tests us. So he says in that verse of scripture, he that is faithful, we're talking about faith, he that is faithful in that which is least. I don't really kid them, but I talk to our young people in our school sometimes and talk to them about, you know, does it bother you to clean a toilet in the church? Shouldn't. First thing I did after I become a Christian, pastor gave me and my wife job to clean the church. We took turns. I think there was four families and we took turns. Once a month we cleaned the church. First thing he'd give me to do. And included what that in that was cleaning the restrooms. Didn't bother me. I mean, honestly, it didn't bother me. I've told you before, some of you hadn't heard it, but one time we forgot to clean the church. We went over on a Sunday morning. We literally forgot to clean the church. I want to tell you something. I was scared to death. I went to my pastor, Brother Evans. I said, Brother Evans, I don't know what to do. I said, we forgot to clean the church, and I am so sorry. I was about ready to get down on my knees and beg forgiveness. I'm serious. I didn't do that, but I asked him, please forgive me. We'll never, ever forget again. And he did forgive me. But, I mean, to me, it was a big deal, and it is a big deal. It was wrong of us to forget to clean the church. What I'm saying, if we can't handle the least jobs, how can we handle the big jobs? Amen? So our faith is built in obeying that which God gives us to do. The little things of life. Obeying those and doing those, you see. And our faith will be increased, you see. What he's doing is he's teaching. He's teaching his servants how to be servants. And that usually starts with little things. Can you handle this? Well, you handle that good, I'll give you something else. See, he's teaching us how to be servants, you see. And I found out something. I don't deserve the privilege of serving God. Now, I don't deserve it. Maybe you feel like you do, but I don't deserve the privilege of serving God. Don't deserve it. It's a wonderful privilege that he gives me to just serve him. Understand? And through that, our faith is built, you see. What he's wanting to do is teach us about himself. He's wanting us to be more like him. You can't find a greater example of servant in the Bible than Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate servant. He didn't come to be ministered to, he came to minister. See, in Christianity, a lot of times today, we're always wanting somebody to do for us. We don't want to do. We don't want to be a servant. And servant means going out of your way. Understand? Sacrifice, going out of your way to do something. That's what God usually does, is ask you to do something that would cause us to have to go out of our way to do it. That's being a servant. Amen? So your faith grows as you learn and as you obey what God has told you to do. Your faith is growing, you see. Then also, as we talked about earlier, we talked about reading the Bible or hearing the Bible on tape or wherever it might be, I want you to also encourage you about studying the Bible. There's a difference between reading and studying. I think reading is absolutely necessary. You saturate yourself with the truth or the things of the Bible. You just read and you saturate yourself with them. But there's also times when you have to study the Bible. You have to find out what's going on. One of the reasons the Jehovah Witness and the Mormons and some of those are winning victories in many so-called Christians' lives, so-called church people's lives, is because them church people don't know the Bible. If you know the Bible, you have no trouble with a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon. You have no trouble. You know they're false. You know they're unscriptural. See, if you know the Bible. Now, if you don't know the Bible, you may have some problem with them. That's why I'm saying it's so important that you study the Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the Bible, you see. And as I said, there's a big difference between just reading and studying, you see. I believe we need to know some things. I believe we need to have an understanding, a good understanding, of just the principles of the Bible. How about creation? Does evolution bother you in whatsoever? I mean, I dare say I don't think it probably does. I don't imagine that evolution bothers you, but you ought to have an understanding of creation. How did this old world come into existence? God created it. Amen. It wasn't something that wiggled up on the seashore and lost its tail and began to walk and do all of those things that the evolutionists say. It's like the story I was trying to. Oh yeah, a man was given an illustration, and he said that this scientist, he said, well, I can create life. He said, I can go in my place there where he does all of his stuff, scientific place. He said, I can create life. And it was supposedly he was talking to God. And he said, I can do that. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll just go in there and I'll get me all these things. And he said, wait a minute, you get your own things. You see, if you're going to create life, start it with nothing. Evolution, one of the most foolish things that has ever been taught, but it's deceived multitudes and multitudes. God created the heavens and the earth without anything. He spoke it into existence. Amen. He didn't start with anything. He didn't start with a speck of dust. He spoke it into existence. So get your own dust if you want to start something. Amen? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Foolishness, but you need to have an understanding of that. You may not all know all the depths of creation and evolution, but you ought to have a deep understanding in your faith that you know God created the heavens and the earth. You know that, you see, without any shadow of a doubt. You ought to have an understanding of the fall of man. What happened? Why are we all sinners? What's the problem? Well, you understand that. If you go back to the Bible, you understand why in the world we needed saved. You ought to have an understanding of salvation, what it is. It isn't works. You don't get saved by works. You get saved by faith, what we're talking about today. Your faith needs to increase. A person starts off his faith by accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It's the only way you're ever going to get saved. You're not going to get saved any other way, you see. And you ought to have an understanding of that. When people start adding works or baptism into salvation, you ought to know immediately that's wrong. Because you get saved by faith. Amen? In Christ. See, you ought to have that deep down in your heart. Your faith ought to be built enough that you know that. You may not be able to explain it all completely, but you know it. It's a solid thing you have in your heart. Amen? So we need to know that. We have to have a little bit of understanding about Satan. We ought to have some understanding about who Satan is and what his job is, what he's doing, what he's trying to, how he's trying to deceive us. And he has no scruples whatsoever. He doesn't care about you. He don't care if he destroys your whole life. See, you don't care about those things. You've got to understand Satan. You've got to understand how he works. Amen. If you have some understanding of that, you'll look around and you'll quit blaming everybody else. You'll be looking and saying, you know what? Satan's trying to cause problems here. Amen. You see, if you have some deep understanding, you learn. How do you learn those things? Well, you learn the Bible. You start knowing the truths of the Bible, you see. Over in Hebrews, I'm going to turn over to the book of Hebrews. The 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm just going to read verse number 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Notice that the first of that verse of scripture, he just says, don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. He says, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. What God wants you to do is get the place in your Christian life where you can't be thrown around with every wind of doctrine. He wants you to know the truth of the Bible. He wants you to understand, and let me say one thing that's so important that you understand, is the truth of eternal security. You need to know that. You need to know when God saved you. See, a lot of the problems is, and I think you understand this, a lot of problems in what we call, quote, unquote, Christianity today is this. You'll see people and they'll say, well, this person, you know, was saved and they did this and that and they walked away from God and out here. See, the problem is, probably, more than likely, they were never saved. I'm just saying that. I know that can happen. They can walk away from God and they can come back. I understand all that. But let me say to you, salvation is eternal. When God gives us eternal life, God was not lying. He gave us a life that'll be forever. See, when a person gets saved, we're God's child. That's a born-again experience. I don't know if any person here physically can ever become unborn. Can you become unborn physically? Of course not. And you cannot become unborn spiritually. But you must be born again. You must be born again, new birth. You see, and then you know that you have that eternal life. I've talked to a lot of people, and these are things that people, you know, want to say, well, you know, if I believed that I had eternal life, I'd just go out and do whatever I wanted to do. That's a bunch of baloney. I've talked to a lot of Christians. I don't know, is there anybody in here feels like because you're saved that you want to go out and just sin and live it up? Anybody want to hold their hand up and say, that's the way I feel. I'm saved, but I want to just go out and do whatever I want to do. Of course not. I've never felt that way since the day I got saved. Have I failed God? Yes, I failed God. But do I feel like I can just go out and live it up and say, oh, well, I'm saved, so what? No, that's a devil's doctrine. See, when you know Christ, when you've been born again, you've saved, you're God's forever, and you're thankful for it, and it discourages you and upsets you when you don't live right, when you don't do right. There's a burning down in your heart and a concern about it, and you're sorry to God that you're not doing everything you should do, and you ask forgiveness of God, and He cleanses us and washes us. Amen? I'm saying you need that in your heart. You need to walk through life with that. You need that security. And you see, that's building your faith. Where is your faith at? In you? Of course not. It's in God. Our faith's in God. I want to tell you, if my faith was in me, I'd be lost today. My faith is not in Bob Ross. My faith is in God who kept me, who saved me and keeps me. It's where my faith is at. Amen? Sure, my faith's in God. Well, you need to have that in your heart. You need to also have a kind of an understanding of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's something we look forward to. You need to have that in your heart, looking forward to the coming of Christ. You ought to have some understanding of that as your faith is built. Amen. That Jesus is coming again. We're looking for Him. Amen. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. Amen. I'm not looking for the 7-year tribulation. I'm looking for Jesus. Amen. So our faith is built. You see, when we understand these things, we're living the life here, the Christian life, and we're looking for Christ to return. And we believe it. Amen. Coming again, isn't He? Amen. Sure He is. He's coming again. Amen. That's where your faith will grow. As you learn about Christ and the wonderful doctrines of the Word of God, and you've got them settled in your heart, and you know it's right because the Bible teaches it, you see. So we need to do that, you see. Let me just say something to you. I usually do not do this, but I think it'd be probably a good idea if I did. Some of you may already have a commentary of the Bible. I've had people ask me before, and I've got two commentaries that I recommend that I think are good. Now, the reason I'm saying that, you're home studying a lot of times. You're going to find passages that you don't understand. Right? And you may want some help. You may want encouragement. And remember, always a commentary is man written. It's not the Bible. If you keep that in mind, you'll never get hurt by a commentary. If you understand that these commentaries are written by men. But J. Vernon McGee is one of the finest teachers of the Bible that I know of. And I'll just say something to you. You know, he's got a 5-volume. If you really want something that you can maybe, as you're going through the Bible, I don't want it to become your Bible. I'm just saying, J. Vernon McGee has done a great job. J. Vernon McGee is a man, and he makes mistakes. I'm just simply saying, you remember that, but it'll help you in difficult places. If you really want to study the Bible, it'll help you in different areas of the Bible. And also the Matthew Henry commentary. That's the only two I ever recommend. I'm not saying there isn't other ones that'll help you. Matthew Henry was one of these old time wonderful men of God, and done a good job on that commentary to help people. Now, the reason I'm saying that to you is this. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that all of us, each one, we come into life, we begin to grow, each one of us is going to have to learn the whole Bible on our own? And when our children grow, they're going to have to learn it on their own. The reason I say this is because God has given special gifts, special enlightenment, I believe, to men of God who's taken years and years and years and years to pin down some things about the Bible in commentaries. So what they do is help us as we grow in our faith. You don't take them as the Bible. You take them, look at them, and let the Holy Spirit bear witness with you that this is true. It's always that way. But folks, we need help. I don't know what I'd have done when I first didn't become a Christian if I didn't have some Bible teachers up at Bible school to help me to understand some truths of the Bible, get me started on the Bible. It's a blessing. Could I have done it? Well, probably somewhere along, maybe 10 years, I might have got the job done. I'm just saying to you, you know, Bible teachers are good and right for us. It's right for you to come this morning and hear the Bible taught. So I'm a man. I'm trying to give you biblical principles. Okay? I'm trying to help you to grow in your faith, you see. I don't want your faith to be in me. I want your faith to be in God. But I want to point you unto the Savior. I want to point you to Him, see? So I want your faith to grow, you see. So also, we hear the Bible, we obey the Bible, we study the Bible, and also read biographies of good Christians. Now, this is a real blessing. I'm running out of time, but let me just give you a couple real quick. Hudson Taylor, he was a great missionary, and some of these fellows that's been through all kinds of tribulation and troubles, and they tell their life story, and you can grow from that. Doesn't mean that you're going to be exactly like them, but you can grow. You'll say, well, God did it for them. Won't God do it the same thing for me? Sure he will. Maybe a different situation, but he'll do the same thing for you. Hudson Taylor was on a ship, and the winds had died down. He was traveling, and the winds had died down, and they was drifting closer and closer to an island where there was cannibals. He gives this in a biography of his. And they're drifting closer to this island. And so the captain says, I don't know what to do. We have no wind. The wind has all died down. I don't know what to do. We just keep drifting and drifting. He said, well, we're going to pray for God to give us wind. But he said, I'm not going to pray till you raise the sails. Well, the captain said, I'm not going to raise the sails. So there's no wind there. He said, well, I'm not going to pray. The captain said, all right, I'll raise the sails. So Hudson Taylor went down below in the ship and began to pray. It wasn't long the captain came and he began to knock on his door. He said, Mr. Taylor, he said, yes. He said, please quit praying. He said, we got so much wind, I don't know how to handle it. Now, but you know, can't you read that and understand and say, oh my, look what God did. No, you're not going to be on a ship and you're not going to be needing wind and the sails. Those days are past, more than likely. I'm just simply saying, but aren't there times when you need something that you can go to God and say, God, help me in this? You see, not only George Mueller was one of those famous men who run orphanages. He prayed in, they say, over 1 million English pounds of money to run his orphanages. He never once advertised that he needed anything. He never once ever told anybody he needed anything. He just got before God and prayed and asked God to do it. He also was on a ship. And he was traveling, and the fog came in so heavy that he wasn't going. The captain of a ship stopped the ship and just let it set. He said, listen, I've got to get to a meeting here in a few days. You've got to get this ship going. He said, I can't. The fog is too strong. And he said, well, we'll pray and ask God to lift the fog. So he just made a simple prayer. He said, God, lift the fog for us. And the captain began to pray, and he said to the captain, he said, forget about your praying. You don't believe he's going to do it anyway. He said, you just get up on the ship up there, and you'll find out the fog is lifting. And the captain went up on the deck of the ship, and sure enough, the fog was lifting and just became clear. Now, you could look at those things. That's God. There may be times that you may need some fog to lift. Faith. Build your faith. Trust God to do what is needed to be done in your life. Now, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish and try to get him to do all these little things that you want and all this tough stuff. But when there's needs and things in your life that you need God to move, believe him. Trust him. Have faith in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness, your wonderful love for us. And Lord, we ask you to bless the next hour. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.